Hello, lovely humans. Let's talk about how wonderful the world is. Are you mad? It's bloody awful out there. It's just the worst.
Hello. Welcome to this next episode of Just the Worst. As you know, it is the podcast where two weirdos get excited to tell each other stories about the stupidest, nastiest, weirdest, wildest, craziest shit out there. Today, we're going to talk about some new crazy shit. So get ready to roll your eyes, groan a lot, and say, oh, that's terrible. It's
but
the worst.
But first,
Patty.
Hi.
Hi, what's up?
I didn't want you to forget me all the way over here on the other side of the room.
I would never dream of it.
I just want to thank everybody who's actually made it to episode 3 of Just the Worst.
Yes.
We're very...
Bless you.
Yes, friends. Bless you. We now do officially consider you our friends.
Thanks, Mom. Actually, I don't want my mom listening to this because I use bad words.
Oh.
She doesn't like it.
Ian, thanks, Ian. Bet you'll listen, maybe. He doesn't listen to podcasts, so maybe not. I know.
And you're still married to him.
I know. Wow. Maybe that's why. Stays out of that part of my world.
He doesn't see the darkness that you unleash here.
No, but speaking of that, I thought because we have done 2 episodes without really explaining anything about who we are or why we're doing this, we should maybe do that.
We could. We could not remain a mystery.
I think that would be good. Though I highly doubt somehow that anybody that's actually listening to this finds us to be mysterious at all, because they probably all know us.
Yes, at this point.
At this point.
Pretty much, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah, what about us? We met because we both rode horses.
Yes.
And that was like 10 years ago.
Yes.
Woo-hoo. And we were kind of kindred spirits from the beginning. And we both like really dark, terrible shit.
Mm-hmm.
And we both are tomboys, I would say.
Yes.
We both have a lot of tattoos, but we're not in gangs.
We're not in gangs.
And contrary to what my dad thinks, I'm not even a sailor.
I'm a sailor.
But between the curse words and the tattoos, he's pretty much convinced that I'm on the wrong side of the law.
You're a pirate.
Yeah, I would. I'd do it. I love pirates. That's why you get into piracy, isn't it?
For
just for the cool pets.
Parrots and pig legs.
And a zombie monkey.
Oh.
Pirates of the Caribbean, Volume 9 or whatever's out by now.
Yeah.
Oh, never stop.
You're a Caribbean person, not a Caribbean person.
Oh, Caribbean. So, yeah, I'm a Caribbean.
I learned something new about
you're
you.
You're Caribbean?
Today. I think I'm a Caribbean. Yeah.
Interesting. Caribbean. Mm. No. Mm. Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right.
Oh, but no, but then if I say Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right?
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
That's something I didn't need to know about myself.
You're ambidextrous about your use of the word Caribbean.
I'm all the pronunciations. I'm not pronunciation agnostic.
Yeah.
So what do you want to say about our lives together?
I don't know, actually, now that I've gotten myself into this predicament of introducing myself. I think that's probably why we didn't do it the first 2 episodes.
Yeah, because I don't know what to say about it.
I have a job. I work full time. I have a couple horses.
Ooh,
yeah, I'm really fancy.
Fancy.
I also have a car.
Woo!
Is, I know, crazy.
Rub it in.
I know. I'm just super successful. It's great.
We both grew up in Southern California.
We did.
But we didn't know each other then. But now we both live in Northern California.
And Valentina is much, much younger than me.
A month.
Like a month.
Maybe.
So we started this podcast because we both became fans of podcasting in general, and we had a couple of similar favorite shows. And I think, I don't know if I texted you one day or what happened. I was like, dude, we should start
a podcast.
Yeah. And then the rest of it happened in a beer garden. And
that is right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We plotted it all out about how we're just going to talk about how mostly people are the worst and they do horrible things.
Yeah. And the thing that I've learned is that really kind of, as I've been doing research for this show, is that even if I don't think it starts out as people being the worst, it ends up there.
Yeah, it devolves into that always.
It always comes back to, you know,
Race. It's always something that we did, even if it's the bears or Mount Everest or something that would seem to be out of the human range of control. No, we managed to fuck it up and make it terrible for everybody.
Pretty much, yeah.
So that's what we like to talk about.
Yeah. So with that being said, I think we should just dive right into today's topics.
What uplifting, happy topic are we talking about today?
Well, I think it has something to do with the World War II era.
It does.
Yes.
Yes. And I'm going to talk about a little event called the massacre or the rape at Nanking, which is a city in China. And this is a horrible story. It's in about 1937 during what is the Second Sino-Japanese War, which is China and Japan. They have been through quite a few wars together. Japan went a little rogue there in the early 1930s and kind of pissed off a lot of people. Actually, as early as 1904, they were making Russia mad.
They were making who mad?
Russia.
Okay.
Little country.
They're such a little country to make everybody so mad.
They really did an impressive job. Yeah, they messed up with Russia. They didn't want them to have a port as far south as they were. Because, of course, Russia's very far north and it's very cold. And you can't have your port open all year round if you're in Russia.
Did they have, like, better weaponry? Or how were they engaging with
I read that they had brought in a bunch of British ex-military to teach them how their navy worked. Because the British Navy at the time was the most efficient navy.
Yeah.
So they had spent about 2 decades, I believe, working with the Brits to try to fix up their own navy. And it did wind up working because I think it was the first Sino-Japanese War, which was in, like, not even turn of the century, that no one expected Japan to win. But they had learned, and China thought of them as just a bunch of pirates that didn't know what they were doing. And then they kept winning and winning. And they managed to defeat China and Russia at different points along this timeline.
Probably what gave them such a big ego about World War II.
Oh, for felt, sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. They were a little intense. So this particular event, 1937. And so just to get an idea of, I'm really bad with the numbers of people, like crowds. I can never tell like what's a lot of people or what does a 200 person wedding look like, or
sort of like Donald Trump.
Yes. Yeah, I have no sense of numbers. Everything's the biggest. But so Levi Stadium, which is our hometown stadium, sits 62,000 people.
Okay.
The city of Salt Lake City has 183,000 people, and the city of Boise, Idaho has 220,000 people. So there's just some basic numbers about how big they thought Nanking was.
Which one of those?
Right. So they believe the population was about 300,000.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll just start right at the beginning. So basically, there was a small group of Western businessmen and missionaries that were in the area at the time. And this is as Japan is basically marching through China, trying to take over all of their cities. And they'd already taken Beijing. So they moved the capital to the city called Nanking. It was actually Nanjing at the time, but now it's Nanking. I don't know why that happens. Didn't get there in my research. But so interestingly, this man named John Rabe, who was a German businessman, who actually led the local Nazi party, joined with others to save the people of Nanking from slaughter because they had heard about how horrible the Japanese were being to prisoners of war and other soldiers. So they created what was called the safety zone. They said it was roughly the size of New York Central Park.
So this was the Nazi party created a safety zone for Chinese people in China from Nanking.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Very, yeah. Crazy. Yeah. Basically, if the Nazis are trying to save people from you, you're probably pretty terrible.
Or just super Aryan.
Or that.
Yeah.
But no.
Okay.
Not in this case.
Okay.
Yeah, so they put about 250,000 of the civilians in this safety zone, which they really thought was going to help keep the Japanese away from just regular civilians. Word had spread that the Japanese army was just committing numerous atrocities on their way through China, including killing contests, pillaging, looting, raping, murdering.
Killing contests?
Yes, they would. Like the first guy who could kill 100 people with a sword.
One.
I don't even know what the prizes were besides a life in hell. They hunted down Chinese soldiers by the thousands and left them in mass graves. Entire families were massacred, and even the elderly and infants were targeted for execution, while tens of thousands of women were raped. Bodies littered the streets for months after the attack. They're believed to have burned at least a third of the city. So random acts of murder occurred as the soldiers frequently fired their rifles into panicked crowds of civilians, killing indiscriminately. Other soldiers would go into shops, kill the shopkeeper, take what they wanted out of the store, and then set the building on fire. Sometimes after locking a bunch of bystanders indoors.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
When are we going to get to the people are the worst part?
Right? I know. This is all pretty banal. So they burned the city. They stabbed. They were really big into stabbing people. I think bayonets were their kind of favorite modus of killing people. Drowning, strangulations, rapes, thefts, massive property damage.
The usual.
The usual for war. Between 20,000 and 80,000 Chinese women were raped. And then it gets a little worse even, that they would kill the women after they were done with them usually. But then they got really crazy and started disemboweling them, slicing off their breasts. There were a couple of women that were pregnant. They would like stab them in the belly and then some. Yeah. I mean, this is pretty gross, everybody. I probably should have put a warning of some sort. They would basically stab the fetuses and like kind of put them on pikes.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then some of the women obviously tried to fight this. So they would nail them to walls and slice up their breasts and genital areas. And then they would sometimes stab them with like really long bamboo shoots, like in the genital area, and just leave them that way. Then a lot of them who were not killed, especially the men, would be taken to the outskirts of the city and forced to dig their own graves.
Well, it does save a lot of effort on the Japanese.
It does. So then they would just line them up next to the graves and, you know, machine gun them into the hole.
That seems like the best way to go in this situation.
Some were set on fire.
Oh, that's
some were tied together and everyone was bayoneted kind of in the stomach. Other times the Japanese forced the Chinese to bury each other alive in the dirt.
Getting very creative.
Young girls were raped as young as seven.
No.
In one instance, a young girl barely 9 years old was raped at the same time as her 75-year-old grandmother.
How do they have records of all of this? Like, was somebody keeping
track? Well, apparently, like, some of these missionaries, like the Nazi guy, they were keeping records and writing letters home and saying, you guys won't believe the shit that's happening here. A lot of the survivors took notes. And it's actually been really controversial because Japan went through a big phase, I want to say, 80s and 90s. Where they were denying that the thing ever happened and they weren't putting it in the history books and they weren't mentioning it. And they were saying that the Chinese basically like conflated all of how horrible it was for anti-Japanese propaganda. But then a few filmmakers and authors tried to sit down with some of the soldiers who are now obviously in their 70s, 80s, 90s. And they did get a number of them to talk about it and say that, yeah, we did do these things. We used to hold the girls down. They would check the genitals for STDs. Then they would draw numbers to see who got to rape them first.
I'm sorry. They would check the genitals for STDs. They're just doing a visual examination.
Yeah, which is kind of strange because it turns out that STDs wound up being one of the worst outcomes of all of this.
The worst outcome?
Right. That even people who lived managed to succumb to just horrible symptoms of STDs for the rest of their lives. you know, unable to have children, just basically scarred for life, as one would imagine. Mm-hmm. One of the interviewers said that few of the veterans showed any remorse. And out of 250 former soldiers that were interviewed in this one documentary, only three expressed regret for their actions.
I think it's the same thing like in that movie Unbroken, or in the book Unbroken.
Oh.
Where the guy, you know, at the very end, Louis Zamperini finds God and he wants to go and make, you know, connect with the his main torturer during the war. And the guy wouldn't meet with him, and he was like, just totally didn't acknowledge that anything bad had even happened. Like, just
interesting.
Like, I think they just maybe shut down in those times of war and are like,
oh yeah,
that's because
a lot of Nazis did that as well. Where they were just like, we were just doing what we were told. It was kind of the moment you had to be there.
You had to be there.
Yeah, right.
You just get really, you know, caught up in it all.
Right. No, I don't think that's an excuse. Yeah, so basically this Nazi just kept records and was just appalled at how these people were treated. And they would, they didn't respect the safety zone. And they would bash on in there and grab a bunch of women and take them. And yeah, and sometimes they'd bring them back.
It's interesting that we act like this is a new method of war, like when it happens in Sudan and in Syria. And we're like, this using rape as a weapon of war has really got to stop.
It's like the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting that we act like it's something new.
Yeah. Well, and especially, I think, to take it to the part where they're not even using it as a form of, like, ethnic cleansing, to where you're trying to, like, infuse your race into this group of people by raping them and then getting them pregnant and having children, but to just kill so many of them is really their MO here. And, I mean, some of these girls were so young that they died from just being gang raped, you know, like 10 times a night.
Oh.
Yeah, there's one part that was awful where they said, like, if the girls were so young that they couldn't adequately, what's the word?
Accommodate?
Yes. Okay. The soldiers, that they would just cut the area as big as they needed to. Yeah.
What's wrong with them?
Yeah, and I mean,
did we kill them all at some point?
So much of this is allegedly, you know, there's so many. And it was really interesting to read the people that actually, one guy like defended it to the death and had this huge like PowerPoint presentation. It seemed like, or like a thesis where he went through all of the photos that from that era that people claim are like evidence of like someone standing, you know, with a severed head and like women just stabbed with bayonets, like in their genitals, like lined up on roads.
But that didn't really happen, but we have.
Yeah,
photos.
So this guy goes photo by photo, and I mean, to the like craziest degree. And it's like, no, you can see that there's this shadow here, which means that there was a third person, which means that for some reason it negates that that would never have happened, because you can tell that this one's posed because this soldier is looking in the wrong direction. Like, it was bananas. So, yeah, they're really trying to say that it didn't happen, which I can imagine. I mean, yeah, I would not.
I would probably try to say it didn't happen if I was involved.
For sure. Oh, and then one really terrible. Yeah, I'm just going to keep telling you the worst parts.
Well, that is what this podcast is about.
It is. They made sons rape their mothers and fathers rape their daughters and brothers and sisters.
Because that's just like the most sadistic thing you can do to somebody.
I can't even imagine.
Right?
I mean, Jesus Christ.
I heard a story like that once about some, I don't know if it was gang members or what was going on, but these people who'd broken into a house in Florida, and they did that to the mom and the son that were in the apartment.
I can't even.
Yeah, and he was like 13 or 14, and I just, it just breaks my heart. Like, yeah, I don't know how either one of you ever recover from something like that.
Completely.
Yeah.
No.
Bad.
Yeah, so now there's obviously like large groups of people that are trying to lobby to change the textbooks to reflect what really happened, and to try to get more evidence out of the governments about what happened, trying to, you know, verify if how bad the atrocities were. But they're definitely trying to bring it more to light in the last century, at least. Well, in the last 50 years, I would say. But yeah, if you do want to read really terrible stories about the things that could happen to these people,
the rape of
Nanking
is one of those things.
The rape of Nanking. is one of those things. So yeah, the numbers of people that actually were killed is still hotly debated. And then you get quotes like, scholars consider estimates from 40,000 to 300,000 to be an accurate estimate. I don't. Playing it pretty fast and loose with the word accurate, because that's a pretty big range of people.
Yes.
I mean, that's either an entire football stadium full of people or like a pretty decent sized American city. But yeah, it's hard for them to get a good count because a lot of the bodies were burned, drowned, thrown in mass graves. But yeah, it basically.
When did it end?
Like, how did that go on? I believe it was just the next year. I think it was, they started in December, and I think, oh, it went on for 6 weeks.
Oh, okay. So it was a brief period of time. And then why did it stop?
I think they were just done and moving on.
Oh.
The war was over.
So they were done with Nanking. They probably got rid of everything there.
Yep. They won.
The war was over.
Yep. And then they were like, bye. I'm going to go home now.
And did the Nazis, they just didn't get involved other than having their little safety zone, or?
Yeah, no, they didn't. They were kind of.
They just got some really good ideas and said, oh, we might be able to use that later.
Yeah, they basically just kind of went and did their own terrible, terrible things.
Send that info back to the Fuhrer.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
But the fact that the one Nazi guy was like, this is not cool. That's when you know you're really shitty.
Yeah.
I think when a Nazi disapproves of you.
Well, that's just taking it too far.
Right? They would know.
Yeah.
Then they were about to go and do their own atrocities the next decade.
But, right. Which will be a whole probably series of other shows.
Yeah, I think there's a couple shows about the Nazis out there.
Yeah. just a couple.
Just from the sheer number of documentaries that my dad watches.
Go to the History Channel.
There are whole channels. Yes.
And there will be something about the World War II and the Nazis.
But I think that was an interesting tidbit that I did not know even happened. And I think it's amazing that things like that can happen and you don't even learn about. Like, there's so much bad stuff, we don't even have time to get to all the bad stuff, like when you're a child in history class.
Oh, you know, we could just do American history and come up with so many terrible things that we're not taught about.
That's as insane.
Far as how we treated the Native Americans and what Christopher Columbus was really like. Oh. And all the whole slave trade and
The entire conquering of like the Americas.
Yeah,
it's a complete shit show.
It was all bad.
Yeah. So let's learn from history, maybe, and not be dicks.
I think I was just thinking yesterday, like, are we ever going to actually do that? Because it seems like we go on this path and we don't recognize until it's too late that we're doing exactly the same thing that somebody else had done before. And then all of a sudden we're like, oh, shoot, there was a genocide.
Right.
Darn
and I
it.
Always look at like, what is it that we're doing right this minute in 2017 that we're like, it's fine. Like, whatever. We don't understand it, or we think we're doing our best. That in 100 years, people are going to be like, can you believe they did this? I mean, everything just from like, back when they used to actually put like cocaine and cough syrup, stuff like that, to just, oh, maybe we should wash our hands before we do surgery, or women are crazy because they need to be masturbated more. That's how the vibrator was invented, because doctors were so tired.
Hysteria.
Yeah, exactly. So I just look around and I'm like, what is it that we're not getting?
Well, I would say, for one, like chemotherapy. I think we're going to look back on that in probably
poisoning
not even 50
ourselves?
Years being like, what, that was the best solution they could come up with? But not to mention all the genocides that are going on in Africa and, you know, all the wars in the Middle East and our dependence on oil and everything else. It's good times. Good times here in the planet Earth with the human race.
It's great.
Yeah.
Buck up, everybody.
Everybody.
Don't let it get you down.
Have a great week.
Sorry.
You know, I think one thing that this can show you, though, is to just be grateful if you have the opportunity to get up in the morning and go to a job and, you know, wake up indoors and have a nice warm shower. And,
that's true.
You know, we're pretty lucky.
Yeah.
So my story is about a ship called the USS Indianapolis.
Ooh.
And a little weapon of war called Little Boy.
Ooh.
Ooh. It sounded like you were a little bit familiar with this when I mentioned it earlier today.
A little bit, yes. Same theater. Same war theater.
Same theater.
Which I think is
same war. Different.
Perpetrator.
Different. Well, same perpetrator. Different. So the Japanese were, I guess, the antagonist. So the protagonist would be the United States.
Yes.
depending on how you looked at it. I'm sure if you're Japanese, you would twist that around.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Anyway, that I've been like fascinated with the story of the Indianapolis since Jaws.
Oh, yeah.
Quinn talks about being on that ship and being there, and that's why he hated sharks so much. I just can't seem to get away from animal attacks, no matter how hard I try. But anyway,
which is ironic that you are the vegan.
Animals are the worst. So anyway, the USS Indianapolis played a pretty crucial role in World War II. And it seemed like a small role and it was super secret, right? But what they were tasked with was carrying the enriched uranium from San Francisco to Pearl Harbor, Okinawa. I think they ended up in Guam to actually arm the atomic weapon that we dropped on Hiroshima, which was called Little Boy. So they didn't know what they were carrying. They thought they were told the faster you can get there, the sooner the war will end. Oh. So they hauled ass because that's everybody wanted the war to end. So they set a speed record to Pearl Harbor.
Oh,
getting there, I think they said in like 74 hours or 74 days, but I'm guessing it's 74 hours. I don't remember. I didn't write that part down. And then they went to Guam, which is where they dropped off the cargo. And so just a brief little aside about Little Boy and what its impact was on the world and on the war. And this part is always just so interesting to me. I think the thing that really fascinates me about this story is just the karmic repercussions all around the use of this bomb, right? So they were carrying it. They ended up in disaster. Like, nothing good came out of this, except for maybe the war ended. I don't know if it would have ended otherwise. Right. Based on your previous story about the Japanese and their desire to win at all costs, I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't have ended if we hadn't done that. But the Japanese city of Hiroshima was bombed on August 6th using Little Boy, which it was just so crazy because they had no technology back then. So they loaded it into the Enola Gay, but they were really scared that something would happen before they got to the drop zone. So they basically had to partially take it apart on the plane, put in the stuff, load it back together, and arm it while they were in the air flying to where they were going.
So it didn't explode on them.
Right, because they just didn't know. Like, nobody had ever... They'd done tests, but they'd never done anything like this. And so it dropped at approximately 8:15 on August 6th. It fell for 45 seconds, a little less than 45 seconds. And then the firing mechanism took off. It was a smaller bomb than what happened at Nagasaki, but the number of victims was much higher. According to figures published in 1945, there were 66,000 people killed as a direct result of the bomb. 69,000 were injured. And of those deaths, there were 20,000 members of the Imperial Japanese Army. So they killed like 45,000 civilians.
Jesus Christ.
It's a lot with one bomb.
It is.
Yeah.
And they did not go peaceful.
So, creepy thing about this, they basically treated this like a test, right? So when they decided in April that Hiroshima was going to be the target of this bomb, they decided not to bomb it at all. So they didn't do any conventional bombing, no warfare or anything, so they could really measure the results of this bomb on it, right? So they had this perfect, pristine drop zone.
Holy shit.
So they had no warfare at all in Hiroshima until that point. Which is just, to me, there's something super devious and creepy about that. Like, that really bothered me.
Yeah.
So almost everything within a mile of the point was directly under the explosion was completely destroyed by the blast.
And I remember seeing pictures of like people burned into the cement.
Yes. So that was one of the things that they talked about, and why that happened was the first part of the explosion is a blinding light accompanied by radiant heat. And the fireball was 1200 feet in diameter that took off from this bomb.
Christ.
And the surface temperature was 10,830 degrees.
That's insane.
That's really hot. That's I don't even know how hot. Things get that hot. So the victim, one of the victims you were talking about, who was sitting on stone steps about 850 feet from the center of the bomb, and he left only a shadow because he absorbed all that heat. That's crazy. Did all the you know, cement around him, but where he was sitting, there was just a shadow of where he had been. So creepy. And so at the same time as that happens, fires start going off everywhere because it's super hot. There's a ton of like just timber and shit everywhere. In the electrical shorts, furnaces, stoves knocking over, just fires everywhere. So that happened and that basically turned into a giant inferno, which consumed everything. And they say that actual casualty figures are impossible to determine because many victims were cremated by the firestorm.
Mm-hmm.
Along with a record of their existence. So their homes were burned, they were burned, they're just gone. But they estimate that about 60% of the immediate deaths were caused by fire, but with the caveat that many persons near the center of the explosion suffered fatal injuries from more than one of the bomb effects. Mm. So basically, the fire victims also got lethal weapons.
Lethal weapons. Fucking Mel Gibson. Everywhere.
You know, oh, there's another episode for this. What happened to Mel Gibson?
Heartbreaking. I loved him.
But they were all irradiated. Basically, they would have been killed by that if they weren't killed by the fire. So, bad shit. Bad shit. You know what uranium is? I think the president, again, I have to bring him up.
I don't think he knows.
It's bad stuff. It makes really bad stuff. And that's what they were carrying on this ship.
That's crazy.
They dropped it off to be used in war. When they were in Guam, they swapped some crew and they headed on to the Philippines. So their job was done. They're heading back. I think they're feeling pretty good because they did their job and they were told that the war was going to end as a result. And then on July 30th, the ship was torpedoed by the Japanese while it was on its way to the Philippines. The thing sank in 12 minutes.
Oh.
It's like Titanic.
That's fast.
Yeah.
It's a big ship to go down that fast.
Yes. So it apparently went straight up, stood straight up, and then it just slipped below the waves really fast. And there was a few survivors that they've been able to talk to about what it was like when that happened. So there was 1,196 crewmen on the board when it went down. 300 of them went down with the ship. The remainder were in the water, and they didn't have very many lifeboats.
speaking of learning from history.
Yes. Seriously. There was this other boat that went down. Maybe they weren't worried. I mean, you would think, because a lot of ships got torpedoed back there in that war.
Yeah, I feel that like that.
And maybe they just weren't able to get to them or they were destroyed. I don't know. They did not end up in the water with the survivors. So there are a few lifeboats, and many of them didn't even have life jackets. So they're just floating around in the ocean. The ocean is filled with oil, so they're all black.
Oh, I didn't know that part.
Yeah, they're all coated in oil. They're all getting sick from inhaling the fumes and from like accidentally sucking down some oil as they're bobbing in the water. So it was just a bad scene, and there's, what, like 800 of them in there?
Yeah.
900 of them. A lot of guys. And they were in the water for 4 days. Actually, a little more than 4 days. They had very little food, no water.
How do you even live that long without water? I thought it was like two days or something.
Well, they started going crazy. So they face exposure, dehydration, salt water poisoning, and shark attacks while they're floating in the few lifeboats with almost no food and water. So maybe there was some rations in the lifeboats. And then they said they did find like cans of spam and stuff amongst the rubbish that was floating around. Like they found little bits and pieces of things to eat. But the exposure to the elements led to hypothermia, and there's something I learned was severe desquamation. Desquamation?
Oh, was that when your skin falls off?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So your skin just starts peeling off. You're brilliant.
No, I just
This is why
retain,
I wanted to do a podcast.
I just retain useless things.
She'll know what desquamation is.
She's creepy like
And then there was others that just killed themselves.
Yeah.
Out of, you know, delirium, or they would actually start killing each other too because they were hallucinating.
They were
so thirsty, or they would drink the salt water and they would go nuts.
Oh, yeah.
And they would start thinking that, like, that guy's Japanese, he's here to get me, and they would just like start drowning somebody. So at any given time, this is from one of the survivors, you could look out and see big fins swimming around and around and around.
Mm.
All of a sudden you heard a blood curdling scream and you look and you see the shark had taken him under. So they were just picking off.
That does sound like in Jaws.
Exactly. Yeah. The dark eyes.
The roll back of the head. Like a doll's eyes.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, he's so good. So day after day went by, their skin began rotting. There was a survivor that recalled seeing a lot of guys just crack or drink the water or give up or swim off to an imaginary island. So they were just seriously hallucinating. And once they swam away from the group, like that was it.
That was the end.
So at night they would tie everyone really close together to try to stay warm. So the water fortunately was fairly warm.
Yeah.
But not still... 98 degrees, not warm enough. So they would get severe chills, which led to fever and delirium. And there was one night when some guy began yelling, "There's a Jap here and he's trying to kill me." This is the story I was mentioning before. And then everyone started to fight. So God. They were all totally out of their minds. A lot of men were killed that night. A lot of men drowned. Everybody just untied themselves and started scattering because they were all freaking out. It was just mass hysteria. And everybody stopped trusting everyone. And when they... when the light came up the next day, there was just way fewer people still with them. So
holy shit.
It wasn't just sharks. It was just all kinds of everything bad.
Oh, everything that could happen.
Yeah. One said that a lot of the crew were able to get life jackets, but many of them became waterlogged. So over time, the jackets started getting heavier.
Oh.
So that made them even more tired because they were trying to swim with the jackets. So there was a few life rafts that they would try to, I think they were switching off a little bit. So pulling away from the group meant almost certain death. There was no way you were going to survive on your own.
Right.
You would get picked off by sharks, or you would end up drinking salt water.
Or you just
people were trying to help each other, right? So one guy was telling a story about how he was in a group of about 80 people. And 2 days, my notes say 2 days later, there were.
Dun, dun, dun.
But 2 days later, there were 17.
Oh,
17
shit.
Out of 80. And he said by the time they got picked up, there were only two. So he said he saw people get disemboweled by sharks. They went crazy. It was just
mayhem.
Gnarly. Yeah. So according to the Discovery Channel and its ever popular Shark Week, this event was the event that had the single most shark attacks on humans in history.
Oh, I'm sure.
And they think it was the oceanic white tip, which is they're the deep water.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they... I think they're responsible for a lot more shark attacks than great whites or any other.
Probably.
I was going to say any other brand. Any other brand or shark.
Little branded sharks at least.
And they think some tiger sharks might have been out there too. But they do think that exposure and salt poisoning and all that stuff had a lot to do with it, and that perhaps the sharks just were eating the dead as they kind of went by.
Yeah.
So the Navy, not aware that any of this was happening because...
Oh no!
They weren't so good at tracking ships back then, which you'd think they would try to be. So they didn't know that the ship had not gotten into port when it was supposed to because they just didn't really check.
I bet they got there.
It was basically like this ship was supposed to arrive on this day, and somebody just marked, "Yep, it arrived."
Oh my God!
Yeah. So when they finally did get there, 4 days later, there was only 317 of the 900 that were still alive.
That's
so, yeah, like two-thirds of them almost were killed out there. I mean, 4 days in salt water, that's cold, with sharks and oil.
Whoa.
No food and people going crazy.
No, thank you.
Yeah, that are all suffering from PTSD, I'm sure, right?
Whoa.
Like, they're not probably in the greatest place anyway. So they did say that the vessel's failure to arrive on schedule was known by a lieutenant, but he failed to investigate the matter and made no immediate report.
Oh.
Yeah. So he just kind of, somebody marked that
else.
It was here. I'm just going to leave it alone. He received a letter of reprimand.
Oh,
in connection
that's
to this incident. Yeah. And the acting commander and operations officer of the Philippine Sea Frontier received reprimand. So, and a letter of admonition. So they were properly dealt with in a big way.
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
They're losing 900 people. No big deal.
That's crazy.
But in their first official statement, the Navy said that the distress calls were keyed by radio operators and possibly were actually transmitted from the ship that they actually might have sent SOS.
Yeah, because they shouldn't have been there for 4 days with no one coming to help them.
Yeah.
That's excessive.
that there was no evidence that had been developed that any distress message from the ship was received by any ship, aircraft, or shore station. So they're kind of back actually saying both things. Like, oh yeah, they might have sent them,
but we
never
got
them. Declassified records later showed that 3 stations received the signals, but none of them acted on the call.
What?
Because one commander was drunk.
Oh.
Another had ordered his men not to disturb him, and a third thought it was a Japanese trap.
Ooh.
So none of them bothered to, like, call and say, hey, has anybody else got this?
Hey, you guys seen this boat?
Can somebody fly over and see if it's there? So they just ignored it. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I didn't see anything about any of them getting in trouble for that, which you would think.
Right.
That maybe, like, they would get a letter of reprimand, like the commander, yeah. The drunk guy, maybe, especially.
Yes.
I could sort of see, like, well, I think it's a trap by the Japanese. But you'd still think you'd call it in. Like,
yeah,
hey,
just put it on someone else, at least.
Yeah, anybody, what do you think of this? Yeah. See if you can just diffuse the responsibility for the situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Just tell everyone.
Yeah. Tell everyone.
Hey, guys.
I'm not going to check it out. I just wanted you to know. Just
passing it on. I'm going to bed.
Yeah. So, meanwhile, all these guys are getting destroyed in the ocean.
God.
So, the captain of the ship, Indianapolis, mm-hmm. he survived.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's probably really hard.
He was court-martialed.
Why? What?
Yes. He was court-martialed and convicted of hazarding his ship by failing to zigzag.
What? Oh, the old failure to zigzag.
Failure to zigzag. And so, you know, a lot of ships were sunk during World War II. And my understanding is he was the only one who was court-martialed for losing his ship. Maybe he's the only one who survived. I don't know. But that was not a common occurrence to court-martial them for failing to zigzag. And there were several things about the court-martial that people found fairly controversial.
Oh, do tell.
Well, one that, you know, failure to zigzag.
I mean,
so there was
a Stark kid that needs that. What, who was it? Rickon that just ran like a fucking idiot.
Oh, that's right.
A court-martial his ass.
It didn't work for him either.
He didn't.
No, but he did not survive.
It's true.
And neither did what's his face. At the end of the day,
Rickon.
What?
I think it was Rickon.
Yeah, but who was the guy who shot him with the arrow? That evil, 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 evil guy. The guy that made him run.
The other bastard, wasn't it?
Yes, but I can't remember it. Bolton. Yes. Was it? No.
There's Reese Bolton. Royce Bolton.
The one that was married to Sansa.
This is all fact.
Sansa?
We're authorities on Game of Thrones, obviously.
That's our other podcast.
Yeah, that's Bolton. That's the younger Bolton. I can't remember if it's Royce or Reese.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah, the one that cut Theon's dick off. Spoiler alert.
Zigzag did not help him either.
Yeah, no.
Well, it helped him, but it didn't help his victim. So anyway, that's what one of the experts also said, that zigzagging probably would not have had much of an effect
in
this
situation. How does a ship that big even zigzag successfully?
I don't know. But apparently another commander said that would have made no difference if he was zigzagging. And the Navy itself had possibly placed the ship in harm's way. And that his orders were to zigzag at his discretion, weather permitting. So maybe it's not zigzagging like really fast, like a cat.
I'm picturing it on a speedboat.
But more like, you know, go a mile and then turn and go a mile. Maybe. And maybe something more like
but
that.
But they were hit from above or
no,
submarines?
From a submarine. Okay. Yeah. So the likelihood that that would have helped too much is pretty small.
Yeah.
So anyway, he was convicted, right? He was court-martialed. He was convicted. But Fleet Admiral Chester Nimitz.
USS Nimitz.
That's right. He has his own ship.
He
remitted his sentence. So he's like, you don't have to actually do time.
Nice guy.
And he restored him to active duty. So McVeigh.
Mm. Any relation?
I don't know. Maybe that's why Timothy was so mad. We'll have to look
he
into that.
Never have court-martialed my dad.
Or grandfather. I don't know.
True.
Anyway, he retired in 1949 as a rear admiral. So, admirable.
He was admirable and an admiral.
He was admirable, though I'm not sure because I don't think that captains are supposed to survive. Aren't they supposed to go down with their ship? I mean,
yeah.
You can't really help it if you bob to the surface.
Right.
But I thought you were supposed to go down with
just drown yourself, sir.
Anyway. So many of the Indianapolis survivors said that McVeigh was not to blame for the sinking. But their families, or the families of the people who died, really thought otherwise. So he would get mail saying things like, Merry Christmas. Our family's holiday would be a lot merrier if you hadn't killed my son.
How rude.
Yeah.
So, talk about survivor's remorse.
I don't know if that was just survivor's hatred.
Like, that's really terrible.
Way to just not accept that your son was in the military.
That's awful.
And that was likely going to happen.
Yeah, right?
Especially in that war.
Jesus.
It's not like now where every, you know, people don't die that regularly. They just get blown to bits. But we keep them alive.
Mm.
Miracles of modern medicine.
Right. Yeah. Oh, McVeigh spelled differently.
What?
McVeigh is spelled differently.
What is it spelled like?
Your Indianapolis guy is M-C-V-A-Y.
Right.
But Timothy is M-C-V-E-I-G-H.
Okay. So clearly no relation. Well, that's,
no.
That's good to know.
Yep.
Anyway.
Sleep better tonight. No,
even
don't.
Though McVeigh had his sentence remitted and he retired in good standing and he survived all of this disaster, he could not take the guilt of having so many people die on his watch, and so he committed suicide in 1968 using his Navy issue revolver.
Of course.
Yeah.
So did he dress up in his full dress uniform?
They didn't say whether he did that or not, but he was found on his front lawn.
Oh, Christ.
So he did it pretty publicly.
Yeah.
He was discovered by his landlord, and he had a toy sailor in one hand and his revolver in the other.
Oh.
And he was 70 years old.
Oh,
so
little
he
old
must
man.
Have just suffered until.
Well, yeah, especially if you're getting fucking letters like that.
I know. Can you imagine? Merry Christmas. Our holiday would be a lot better if you hadn't killed my son.
Jesus. That's a dick move.
That is a serious dick move. Somebody should have been checking that man's mail. I just like, it's, you know, thank God they didn't have like Facebook and Yelp.
Oh, I can only imagine
the Yelp reviews this guy would have gotten.
Yeah, well, there's that one. Did you ever read about the girl in the Porsche that crashed? Nikki Katsoukas or something? Mm-hmm. She, like, flipped her. I think she was drunk and took her dad's Porsche and flipped it. And, like, the crime scene photos were absolutely disgusting of, like, half of her head and, like, half of her face hanging off. And for some reason, and I don't know. Yeah, and I don't know. You can actually Google them if you really want to. But for some reason, there's probably a story with it, but like internet trolls kept the pictures and would keep sending them to her parents. And they would send them, but with like different email subject lines. Like, I think he was an attorney. So they would be like, hey, regarding the evidence for this trial, open me. And then he'd open it and be that picture of his daughter.
So she killed somebody else or she just.
I don't think she
herself.
Did. I think it was just her.
So why were people
I don't
so
know,
mad?
And that's why I really shouldn't have gone on this tangent without having the evidence to back it up. But that just made me think of that, where people are just
if you just kill yourself,
horrible for
really,
being
can't
horrible.
People just leave it alone.
No, they tormented him for years and years after. And the pictures are pretty gross if you like that kind of thing, which of course I do, but it's still sad.
Wow,
but yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah,
but I'm glad for this man that he didn't at least get accosted by that sort of thing for the rest of his life, even though he was getting the mail. But I don't know why somebody didn't help with his mail. That would have been nice.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so the USS Indianapolis, just bad news all the way around.
Super tragedy.
And, you know, thinking about it, I don't know why those parents didn't blame the Japanese.
Right?
Because really, they were the ones that killed their son.
Yeah. Funny how war is like that.
It is. And clearly they killed many, many other people's
Really,
children and selves.
Yeah.
Over that period of time.
It was a rough period.
So I was listening to your story and I was like, wow, I was feeling really bad about Hiroshima until you told me all of this.
Yeah, it's a little weird. And I guess, like, in the events leading up to Hiroshima, they had tried to say, well, obviously, like, Pearl Harbor happened. I think because the Japanese saw that America wasn't getting involved in all the European drama that was happening. So they were like, oh, well, they obviously, like, will be an easy target.
Total
they'll
wusses.
Just surrender, right?
Yeah.
So then that's why they bombed Pearl Harbor, because they were like, well, we'll get the Americans to surrender and, you know, then they'll get out of our way.
What do you think about the theory that we let that happen so we could go to war?
I don't know about that.
Forget that.
Forget that. I think America was trying really hard not to be involved.
I think it's totally possible that we did that because the president at the time, was it Eisenhower? Whoever it was.
He was in there somewhere.
We're definitely going to need some sort of corrections corner, by the way.
Yes.
Sorry we were wrong.
Yeah, your angry tweets.
Yeah. But he wanted to get involved in the war, and the people and Congress wouldn't let him.
Interesting.
So I feel like it's totally plausible that we would have let there be an attack on us just so that we would have the avenue to get into war. Because not only did we go to war in Japan against the Japanese, then we were full throttle in Europe, too. Yeah. So it did actually propel us into the war in a big way and probably ended it a lot sooner than it might have otherwise ended.
I think that's when Churchill decided to get really involved as well, though.
Well, Churchill had to because they were bombing the shit out of his city.
They really were.
He didn't really have a choice. Well, yeah. And he was trying to get us involved. And we're like, no, you guys are across an ocean. We don't care.
Yeah, and then Pearl Harbor. And we were like, oh, okay.
Now we're exactly.
You don't mess
with us. Oh, that's much closer to us.
Right?
That was our ship.
Get out of here.
Yeah. And, you know, we were really, I wonder what would have been different if we had ended up staying like kind of separatist sort of. You know, just, hey, we're going to stay out of world affairs.
Yeah.
Right, though? But did that open the door for us getting involved
all over
the place?
Just being in everybody's business all the
time?
Yeah.
Like, World War, this is fun. Let's go to Korea. Let's go to Vietnam. Let's go here. Let's go there. Oh.
We're the only ones that can win things. Let's get in there.
And clearly, because we haven't won a fucking one of them.
Yeah.
We didn't win Vietnam. We didn't win Korea. We haven't won in Iraq and Iran. We haven't won.
No.
We haven't won anywhere we've gone to war since.
Yeah, we basically just got really excited about World War II and thought we could win everything.
Yeah. I think that was probably the last legitimate war we were in, which is probably why we won it.
Yeah. Knock on wood. Let's not do any more.
Good luck with that.
Have you met our president?
Any of our presidents?
If you're still listening to this, we're still okay.
Have you heard of the military-industrial complex?
That's right.
Our entire economy is based on that shit.
I heard about Trump taunting Kim Jong-un.
Oh, well, that is perhaps a war we could win, but...
Ooh, I don't know. Going up against
China would be pissed.
I know. They need to get over it.
Yeah.
Russia and China.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
But they like having their little axis of evil over there.
I know. They really do.
Yeah.
Knock it off.
Oh, anyway, so that was a really great way to start the day. It's nice to talk about mass killings and
death.
Horrible tortures and people just having the most atrocious
people
time and
being the worst.
People being the worst to each other. And that, you know, again, like war is kind of the worst. We can't seem to keep ourselves out of it.
No.
Yeah. Any final thoughts?
Ew.
I feel great. Let's go party.
Go drink a lot.
Did you just say you don't drink a lot?
I said I'm going to go drink a lot.
Oh, well, haven't you been doing that?
Yes. Oh. Because if I'm really happy, I'm like, woo, time to drink and celebrate. Then if I'm really sad, I'm like, oh, time to drink.
And here
Any
I am
occasion.
Over here just having to deal with my feelings.
It's nope.
Not fair.
Escape into the ether.
Thank God I'm on enough medication to keep me not really caring about anything.
We're all doped up.
Yes. Well, that's the only way to survive this terrible world.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
It is the worst.
Yes, it is. And on that note,
that's all we got, friends.
Call it a
day. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, and try not to be the worst this week.
Yeah. Hit us up if you have good stories and things that you want to talk about that are the worst, that drive you crazy, especially if no one really heard of them, like all this shit that we didn't even buried in history books.
And Jaws.
And Jaws, yeah.
It was sort of buried in Jaws.
It's the best.
Yes. Well, yeah.
Jaws 2, the worst.
Jaws 4, even worse.
Yeah.
Sharknado?
Ooh, never saw it.
I didn't either.
I'm just going to assume it's the worst.
All right. On that note.
All right, Patty.
You can find us at Facebook, Just the Worst Podcast, on Instagram, at Just the Worst Pod, and on Twitter, at JTW Pod. You can also email us at justtheworstpod@gmail.com with any future topics, ideas, complaints, aggravations, whatever you got. Send it to us. Until next time.